Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's happening? Tiki and Tierney here. Football Monday. Do want to squeeze something in about Coach Kayla. We didn't get a chance to get to that before. We'll get to it here, and then we'll obviously do the rest on Brady and obviously set you up. Super Bowl 55 is all set. And we're coming from our Rocket Mortgage studio. Speaking of Super Bowl 55, with every score change during the game, somebody will win $50,000 in the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. So, see rules and enter for free. Just go to rocketmortgagesquares.com. So, with all the football stuff, it's easy to lose track of other stuff that went down over the weekend. This caught my attention. Well, first it caught my ear. Then it caught my attention. And I wanted to get to this here for a couple of minutes. So, Tiki, did you hear the audio with Coach K, the great Mike Krzyzewski from Duke?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so I don't want to assume that everybody else heard it, but without necessarily telling me exactly how you feel, on some level, did you have any issue with Coach K or no?
Yeah, of course. He's being a little bit aggressive or passive aggressive, or however you want to position it. And this is a kid, man. And so he's learning, and he's maybe not looking to be paternalized.
Okay, good, good, good. So we're pretty much on the same page. By the way, Coach K did apologize. He wound up calling the young man who's a student at Duke and works for the newspaper, whatever. But Duke's having a rough season after their latest loss. He was asked to basically, D-Cell, does it have the question? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Yep. Well, don't need to. Here it is. Go ahead.
Hi, Coach. I'm just curious as to what the next step forward here is for the team as you guys move into another week of basketball.
Yeah, why don't we just evaluate this game? You know, I'm not into what our next step forward is right now. We just finished the hard-fought game. Yeah, I don't know if, like, when you, what's your major? What's your hardest class?
Econ.
Okay. So say you just had the toughest econ test in the world. And when you walked out, somebody asked you, what's your next step? You see what I mean? Do you have some empathy? And you know, just give us time to evaluate this game, and then we'll figure out, just like we always try to do.
Okay. Hmm. Empathy.
Yeah.
Now, in the fairness of, you know, journalistic integrity, yes, I know he goes to Duke, so I'm sure the young man would prefer Duke to win rather than lose, but empathy after a basketball game?
Look, problem is if that was whoever,
take Goodman.
Goodman. It's our guy, Kellogg, right? And then he asked that same question. Is Coach K responding that way?
No chance.
Exactly.
No
and so
chance.
He's only doing that because he feels empowered and has an upper hand on a kid. But it's not professional, to be perfectly honest, to be perfectly, you know, straight about it. It's an unprofessional way to answer a question, because this kid's not asking Coach K for interviewing advice. He's looking to get an answer to a question, because I'm sure he wants to write some sort of article or use the sound to respond in some way to the commentary.
Correct.
He's trying to learn. He's not trying to, you know, be taught. You're my professor.
Yeah, so. That's true. I mean, he's being taught just by having a credential and being in the laboratory, so to speak. And you know, on some level, this will probably accelerate his I don't know about his development, but I don't think it's going to be a bad thing for the young man's career. I mean, now everybody knows who he is.
Yeah, you're right.
Nobody really. I mean, some people, I'm sure, knew who he was. But on the grander scheme, I've never heard of the young man. I don't think you have either. This could theoretically open up a door down the road that may not have opened up as early, and I have no problem with that. That's fine. Circumstances happen. You take advantage. And I thought it was a good question, by the way.
I think so as well.
That's the point. It was a fair question.
Yep.
You know, and listen, I mean, Coach K, whether it's, you know, Bobby Knight, who had a totally different delivery, and Bobby Knight just, I was just not a fan of Bobby Knight's. I just wasn't. But, you know, Coach K, I've always had a ton of reverence for. That's a word I don't throw around too often. But I've really had a large amount of reverence for how he comports himself in victory and in defeat, the quality, the caliber of young men that he recruits. I mean, there's just a lot to like and revere about Coach K. But I think the last couple of years, he's kind of getting away, not in an incredibly cavalier way, but he doesn't always represent that figure that I came to revere, matter of fact.
Yeah.
I feel like there's been a few instances where, I don't know, maybe it's his personal, as he compartmentalizes his own life and his own career, maybe there's an element of fallibility, I don't know, that's beginning to creep in just based on his age, even though he looks great and hopefully he lives forever and he coaches as long as he wants. But the reality is he won't. And as you get older, you process things differently. And maybe he's becoming a little grumpy because he realizes the finish line is a lot more apparent than it ever was. And that's fine. We'll all deal with that at some point in our own way, for sure. And he didn't berate the young man, but he took advantage of a vulnerable person based on power. It's not a crime. It's just weak. And he needed to be called out on a national show. And I need to say that I thought that was very weak, which I did. I didn't like it at all. I thought it was weak.
And he apologized.
But he apologized. So now he's back to being the upstanding man that I have a ton of reverence for. And that's good. And we move on. We don't need to, you know, beat this to a bloody pulp. But I'm sure with all the football going on, I'm not sure if everybody had a chance to hear that or see that. And I wanted to at least get to it since we could not get to it during Inbounds Out of Bounds. And they're not very good this year. I mean, let's not lose sight of that. They're having a really rough time.
5-5 and out of the top 25.
And rightfully so. And at this rate, it wouldn't surprise me if they don't see the top 25 again. It's just not that good.
No.
And by the way, there's no crime with a few valleys over the course of a 40-year iconic career. It happens.
That's right.
You know? Although there haven't been many valleys with Brady. Let's call for what it is. Let's get back to the story of the day, and Mahomes is the other end of the equation, and Rodgers was the first hour, and LaFleur, his decision to go for the three and a shoe going for it on fourth and eight. Whatever. Now we get to Brady. Teek, you know how hard this game is to play.
Yeah.
Not only to make, but then to be able to hang around, and not only hang around, but to flourish. And then you never played for another team, but you know the game enough and respect the process enough to equate to us in simple terms just how hard it must have been, because I think we all minimize this to an extent, how hard it must have been to walk into a new building after 20 years and still wind up at the same destination.
Yeah, no, that's the hard thing to think about is that, and we said this a couple weeks ago, I can't remember now, but like no team is ever a player away, but the Bucs were a player away, and Bruce Arians identified this at the draft. Do you remember this? Or the combine. Remember they were talking about Jameis Winston and whether or not they were going to give him a contract extension after his fifth-year option had expired, and he basically said no. And they were like, well, who do you want? And he was like, I want Tom Brady. Obviously, we didn't know. I think we were speculating what Tom Brady was going to do, but we all kind of assumed that he was going to go back to the New England Patriots. Remember he was at that basketball game with Julian Edelman and I forget who else it was someone else, and they were I don't know. They were talking about where he's going to go and all these things.
That.
And it's like, it's just a smokescreen. He's going back to New England. All the time, he knew he was leaving and he was going to go to Tampa. And so as soon as he became a free agent, he bounced. And, you know, it's one thing to go someplace else and, I don't know, have to be the teacher and the by example leader and then, you know, getting close contact on the same page with the new staff. That's one thing, but it's another to have some little bumps here. They weren't a ton. There was a couple, including the very first game of the season, but then basically dominate. You know what I mean? So after like week, I don't know, 11, they were amazing down the stretch. And Tom Brady was even more so. I think the last six games of the season, I mean, he had like 1,900 yards and 16 touchdowns and maybe one interception. He was just dominant.
The last 6 weeks.
Yeah, last
that,
six
by
weeks.
By the way, that equates to almost 6,000 yards.
That's right. Think about how dominant he would have been if they would have started the season with any kind of training camp or preseason games or whatever. He's always been this player, whether it's a slight, like you remember the Deflategate, after he came back after those four games, they go and they win a Super Bowl, right? Yeah. And the next year he wins the MVP. I mean, it was just, he's always been the rise to the occasion type of person, like leader. And that's exactly what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers needed, because they have the talent. I mean, there's no doubt about the talent. They needed that in the locker room, rise to the occasion. I'm lifting you all with me, leader. And Tom Brady has been that. It's exceptional, and it's amazing, and really something to be, I mean, lauded and commended.
We take it for granted.
Yeah.
There's just no way not to. We take it for granted. We are so conditioned to expect him to do well. Yeah, listen, I know he threw three picks, but we're just conditioned to expect him to win and overcome and, you know, represent the AFC and now represent the NFC. Question for you. You think Robert Kraft sent him a text congratulating him?
Yeah, he probably did.
You think Bill Belichick did?
I would say he did. I mean, they don't have, I don't know, an adversary relationship. Because I know for a fact he doesn't have an adversary relationship with Robert Kraft.
That's why I asked you in that order. I agree. There's no doubt that Kraft absolutely sent the eye. Belichick?
I don't know. That's an interesting question.
I would
like to see that question asked.
Somebody needs to ask that question.
When he has media availability. I don't know when it's going to be, this week or even next week, because everything has changed this year because of the pandemic. These teams aren't traveling until 2 days before the game, right? It's Friday or maybe it's even Thursday. Maybe it's Thursday, but whatever it is, they're not traveling. They're treating this just like a regular game in the regular season. So, you know, you talk about all the interview opportunities. It's going to be Zoom. It's going to feel like a regular week. It's not going to feel like the Super Bowl week for these guys, which I think is a huge advantage for the Buccaneers because they're not traveling anywhere.
Exactly. By the way, speaking of the Super Bowl, we're not going, as we've told you a few times. No radio shows are, but I know Santa's starting to hammer out the guest list, and I was looking at it before. I know that we already have Justin Herbert. No, listen, you'll get what you always get from Tiki and Tierney. A-listers, every one of them is going to roll through. Or at least the ones that we want to come on. I mean, sometimes you have to say no. I mean, and not that probably
just
sounded
not enough
wrong.
Slots. Yeah, just not enough slots.
Yeah, I didn't mean it to sound like, well, we don't a Hall of Famer. Nah, not good enough for us. I obviously don't mean that. But there are people who are terrific players and personalities that we just might not have time for. So Santa's constructing that. But I know that Herbert's going to stop by amongst many others. Dobbins is already booked, and Terrell Davis. We got a bunch of big names. So that'll be a lot of fun. I think DeAndre Swift might be on the list. Talk about maybe Stafford as new head coach. We got a lot of things to get to, and we'll do what we do. We'll just do it a little differently. But let's hear from Brady now. He was asked about, you know, this achievement going to Super Bowl number 10. Super Bowl number 10. Here's Tom Brady on that.
This is the ultimate team sport. And, you know, we've had a lot of people work really hard over a course of a period of time to get to this point. So, you know, it's a tough journey to get here.
So humble, but you know, behind the scenes, even not even on Instagram, him and his boy Gronk, they were getting off the plane. You see what they put on Instagram?
Yeah, I did.
You know, just always a little something just to stick that little needle in the detractors. He hears them. He uses it as fuel and motivation. He processes things uniquely, but his mind, he is the closest thing to a Jedi that we've ever seen. And I think in all the sport, LeBron's right there too.
Yeah.
Like that Jedi, but LeBron has these tantalizing physical gifts that Brady does not, even though Tom obviously has a good arm, but I mean the whole package. Brady's an average athlete with a mind that is off the charts, unapproachable.
Yeah.
And it's just gotten him this far.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I think about this partnership with Bruce Arians and, you know, the take shots. Let's just go for it. We're going to, like, the Scotty Miller touchdown right before halftime. I mean, they could have punt. That would have been safe. But, you know, if they had done that, they probably don't win the game, BT, because they got outscored by 6 points in the second half, 16-10 in the second half. And they didn't play as well. So that it was necessary in retrospect, but they gave themselves a cushion. And, you know, that's just Bruce Arians' mindset. And
you think it took Tom a while to embrace that? Because these picks are going on his ledger. These mistakes go on his ledger. But
yeah, probably.
Okay, go ahead.
Probably.
Go ahead.
I mean, they, it's a collaboration. It's getting into the room. And
we're going
saying,
Kyrie and Durant. That's a collaboration.
No. A collab, like, what do you like to do? Like, what do you want to do in these type of situations? And, I mean, I honestly felt like Tom Brady, And I think Bruce even said this. It was Tom's idea to go for this on fourth down. So they go for it on fourth down. They get the first down, and then they take the shot on first down with only whatever it was, 6 seconds left in the half. And they knew they had a mismatch. If anybody you think they're throwing the ball to in that situation, it was not Scotty Miller. It's not who I thought they were going to take a shot at. Mm-hmm. But they got him in man coverage. They knew the one deficient cornerback over there, and he took advantage of it. That's playing for the moment, and it's not playing safe. I think in his previous years in New England, they always played it safe. It was like, let's be smart. Let's win the field position. Let's not have turnovers. Let's not take risk. And Tampa, he's getting to take risk, which is fun. It's dangerous, mm-hmm. Because he had some blow up moments in the second half, but they still pulled it out because they're risky like that.
Risky with the biscuit. So basically what they did was, you know, in New England, they laid up a lot. And mm-hmm. in Tampa, you know, dialing it home in two. And sometimes you get water. Sometimes you rinse it. Most of the times you put it near the stick and you putt and freak them. You know, when you have somebody like Tom and like Bruce and then those weapons, you know, you should go for the flag in two.
Agreed.
You know?
I would.
Absolutely. All right. So coming up, we started the show with Rodgers. And while there's probably not much of an avenue, even if he was to say that he wants to be dealt, which, by the way, he has not said, despite what you're hearing all day, it makes it seem like there's a finality, like Aaron Rodgers is going to demand a trade. He has not, and nor do we think he will. But if he does, even if it's subtly behind the scenes, what could they even get for him? Because he's going to win the MVP, so quite literally he is still great, but he is 37. And then you incorporate Stafford and Winston, and obviously Deshaun Watson, to a lesser extent, maybe Sam Darnold. There's a lot of quarterbacks on the market. What would the value be for somebody like Rodgers if he really does want to bounce? We'll get to that next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, on Sunday, February 7th, join CBS for the biggest event in 2021. It's the Chiefs taking on the Buccaneers, and it's down in Tampa, Super Bowl 55. Coverage begins at 2 Eastern, 1 Pacific, with Super Bowl today leading up to the kickoff at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, February 7th. Super Bowl 55 is on CBS. And by the way, Teak, did you see? I wouldn't know the answer to this because neither you or Santer actually responded to my text. What radio show in America? I need the answer to this question, all right? So watching the AFC Championship game, as everybody is yesterday, right? And I didn't even catch it. Jen caught it. I was like, I looked down for a second. There was this nice montage of CBS properties, right? And they had a really good look. Tiki and Tierney get a great national, CBS Sports HQ. Tiki and Tierney mm-hmm. prominent right in the middle. Bunch of you, awesome look. And love that the company did that for us. Really appreciate it. So I take a screenshot. Jen says, well, I think I just saw you. You know, how could you miss our bald heads? I'm like, why would, me? No, I rewound it. Yeah, sure enough, it was there. Take a screenshot, send it to Samter and D-Cell and Tiki. Mm-hmm. Nobody responds. I mean, how the hell do you not respond to that?
Because I was probably having a couple of IPAs. And
so what? Not just even be like, dude, cool, looks awesome.
Not even paying attention. Not even paying attention to my phone. when was this?
Well, then what's Sanders' excuse?
Let me see what time this was.
And then I just wrote back after I got literally three crickets. I wrote back, good talk.
Where was I? I don't
and
get
then
it.
Finally, DeSell laughed.
Oh,
DeSell
laughed. You know why?
Why?
Because so my phone was upstairs. The only thing I had downstairs was my iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And because Samter doesn't have an iPhone, it doesn't iMessage. So iMessages I get on my iPad. So when you write me directly, I get it on my iPad. So
yeah, you always respond with that. That's because, why I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
Because my iPad is here.
Gotcha.
But because Samter is on the thread and
got
he has
it.
A whatever that crappy
Samsung
thing.
No, I got you. But then why wouldn't Samter respond?
I don't know. Ask Samter.
I can't. He can't hear. He doesn't have a microphone
That's
right
a good
now.
Point.
The one guy that can respond, D-Cell, actually did respond.
There you go.
I mean, but come on. It's good
and
luck,
then, and
man.
And then by the time I saw it was like late, and I was like, whatever. It's not interesting anymore.
See, if I said, hey, Teague, you hear about this new marathon that's coming?
You would have written back. Like, look, can I run?
That's a good look, though.
I did 10 miles today.
Who cares about your 10 miles? Take your 10 miles and stick them. You annoyed me with that. You didn't respond. I'm like, this looks great, and my partner's not even responded.
You write me directly, dude. You know I'll get back to you.
I didn't think that because of Santa not having mm-hmm. Apple. That is true because every other time I text you or you yep. text me, it's immediate. That's yep. why I was so confounded this time.
Dude,
for
you texted
that was
me.
Cool.
You texted me when I was on the air at the Raiders and
the
Broncos.
Well,
and I wrote you back like 5 seconds.
Oh, absolutely. No, I have no qualms about your responses except that one. for something that I thought was so cool.
It was kind of cool.
It's going to be great. It's a CBS Super Bowl, and we're fired up. We've got all, as I said before, guests already lined. We have Justin Herbert coming on already. We know that. The great rookie for the Chargers. So we'll get you what you need to get. We won't be there in person. It'll be a little different, but trust us. We will deliver as we always do. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, Super Bowl. It's time to rock. All right. So let's reset this, not assuming everybody heard this. We don't need to reset in depth because you know where we stand. Teak, you know where you and I stand. But let's at least forge this forward a bit. In the incredibly unlikely, never happening scenario that Rodgers actually demands a trade.
No, right? He won't.
Which is not going to happen, but just say that he does. What can you get for him? What could you legitimately ask for the
it
MVP?
It is such a tough question.
Who's going to be 38?
That's why it's such a tough question. And let's not forget, when Matt LaFleur first came in, so before they played a game, before they got on the field, before they knew what the offense was going to look like or be like, it was a little contentious. Now, they'll play that down because they ended up winning 13 games that season, went to the NFC Championship game. Aaron Rodgers had a good season. It wasn't great. I think he only threw like, what, 24 touchdowns or 25 touchdowns? Something like that. He still had, you know, minimal interceptions because he doesn't throw interceptions. But it was a little bit dicey at the beginning. And so before I get to what I think he's worth, you got to think about what happens when he goes, I'm going to say if and when, because I think he's
not going.
But not this year. I'm saying when. So maybe 2 years from now.
Gotcha.
When he's 40 or whatever, 40 or 41, when he goes someplace else. That's the other thing you got to think about. Like, what's that relationship going to be like with whoever the coach is? Because Matt LaFleur is as good as they come for a young head coach in the NFL right now. He's been 26 games in three seasons in the regular – in two seasons in regular – I mean, that's exceptional.
13-3.
His
NFC Championship game, NFC Championship.
His game planning works. I mean, it's – and Aaron had a little bit of issues with it. So I'd only worry, like, all right, what's that relationship going to be like a little bit?
Yes.
Now, with that being said, what's he worth?
Yes, right now, if under this ridiculously – you know, asinine situation. I want out. What can they realistically get for him?
So we got to follow my reasoning here for a minute. I don't think you can give up a first round draft pick for him, BT. Even though he's worth, because he's winning the MVP, but he's worth it. Because if you're wrong, then you've now given up your first round draft. So if you're wrong and you suck, you've given up your first round draft pick to get a replacement.
I don't disagree. From
the simple side, I would maybe a future first round draft pick, but not an immediate first round draft pick.
Okay.
I would say probably a couple twos, a couple threes, and
what about a couple of twos and a player like a young defender?
I was going to say even you add in a player that changes the situation a little bit, but I don't know who that would be. So it's a really dicey proposition.
Yep.
Because you don't know when Aaron Rodgers is just going to, like, not be that guy any longer. I don't see it right now.
No.
But let's not also forget Peyton Manning, after he left the Colts and had the surgery and goes to Denver, he threw 50 touchdown passes.
Yes, he did.
Right? The next year, the very next year, he was not the same player.
His arm strength was – this is not a knock.
Yep.
It was one of the worst arms I've ever seen of a quarterback in the NFL.
That's right.
His balls were floating and fluttering and diving.
That's right. Now, they coached
around Peyton Manning.
It was injury.
It real. Yeah, they coached around him.
It was injury related, so it wasn't like, you got to the end of your career. But still, if that happens and you don't have an elite defense like the Denver Broncos had that season
– good point.
Then – I mean, you're kind of stuck.
You're not winning shootouts, to your point.
That's right.
Okay. So, 4 years, I think it was 130, whatever it was, back in 2018.
Yep.
If he was actually dealt, again, not happening, but if he was, then it would be a $31 million dead money hit for the Packers.
Yeah,
so
that's
you have
not
to incorporate.
Worth it.
Exactly. So, right away, it's untenable.
Exactly. Because the cap's only going to go down $20 million.
Between 15, 18, maybe in worst case, $20 million, but that's already out there. So, there's very few teams that have incredible flexibility. And the crazy thing is that a lot of the teams that do are teams that are probably going to take a quarterback at the top of the draft. Yeah. The Jaguars have the most free agent money. They're going to take Trevor Lawrence. The Jets have the second most. They could maybe not take a quarterback, but they certainly could.
Yep, or so, they could trade for Deshaun Watson.
Or that, of course, or trade for Deshaun Watson. Now, Deshaun Watson, you give up a boatload of ones. He's in his mid-20s. That's a done deal.
Yep.
That you give up whatever it takes to get. Right, but Stafford to me is where it gets interesting, because Stafford has never been. He's good. He's very good, but he's never been as good as Rodgers, and he never will be. You can make the case he's never been as good as Deshaun Watson's been this year.
Yep,
you can make that case because Deshaun's a better athlete. Stafford can move, but Deshaun's superior with that. And he's just he's just bad. I think he's a little bit better than Deshaun Watson. I don't think I need to justify further. I think Deshaun's a little bit better, and. But, and he's also 7 years older. So once Stafford is traded, not if, once he's traded, it's over in Detroit.
Yeah.
What do you get for Stafford?
Yeah. So this one is more interesting. I think I might be willing to give up a one for Stafford. And here's the reason, but it's got
to
be. You probably don't have to. I don't think you have to, but I'd be willing to.
Go ahead.
Because he is an elite level quarterback. We've heard other quarterbacks in the league talk about this. Carson Palmer. Or was it Jordan Palmer or Carson Palmer? I can't remember which one we were talking
on our
to.
Show.
Yeah,
well, we've had them both. I think most recently we had Carson.
So probably it was Carson.
Yeah, it was Carson. That, I know where you're going.
Yep, talking about how he makes some of these elite throws. We always talk about like Pat Mahomes and these different slot angles. Where Matt Stafford probably was the originator of that. Like
he's got a lot of that
that,
in his
game. That crazy slot angle throw that he somehow completes, and so he's got the talent. The question about Matthew Stafford is if he was on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year, where would the Bucs be just as good? Because there's so much talent around him. He's never had it, right? He had Megatron for a couple seasons, but let's not forget, like back in those days, he was just throwing to Megatron, right?
Correct.
It was like I got in trouble. Oh crap, let me just throw it up to Megatron. Mm-hmm. Like there was no progressions, there was none of that, let me find the best play. Though the safest play, which is get it somewhere near Megatron.
Yep.
But I would like to see him on a complete team. The challenge is going to be finding a team that's ready to win.
Colts.
Like the Colts.
No challenge.
Who are willing to give up, maybe a first rounder for Matthew Stafford. He's gonna put you right back in the conversation for an AFC title.
Yeah, yeah. The thing that I would like to see with Stafford, and you never know until somebody gets there, but because he's never played in high leverage games, with any sort of frequency.
Well, we knew it. What was the stat? That was, it was like 10 years.
About his record against teams with over 500 record.
It was abysmal.
I want to say it was like 4-30. Like, it was horrendous.
Yes.
Not all his fault, obviously.
No.
He's a lot more of the answer than he was the problem there.
Agreed.
In Detroit. Detroit's just a mess. And they have been forever. Hopefully they get it right. I love the hire of Campbell. We'll see if they can actually get that straight. But we don't know. We sit here and we rave about his prodigious arm talent, which is accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But until you see somebody on the road in January, NFC Championship game or AFC if he gets dealt there, divisional round, coming off a wild card win, pressure's amplified. We've never seen that.
No.
I surmise that he would respond well.
Yeah.
But we've never seen that. There's no database.
Yeah. To me, though, he'd be worth it. He'd be worth the risk.
Yeah, I agree.
Because the skill is there.
I agree.
And the moxie, like the swagger. It's there.
I agree. I'm a Stafford fan.
It's just a matter of figuring out a way to get that deal done.
Well, so before we get the update here for Mac, again, it looks like it's going to be the Colts. Matter of fact, I'd be stunned if it's not. But you also have to incorporate Washington. Because their new GM is the GM who drafted him.
It's a great point.
In Detroit.
Yeah, Mayhew.
Mayhew. So you put him on that team with McLaurin. You got a running back, obviously. Mm-hmm. Offensive line, pretty good. But more specifically, that defense and that coaching staff.
Yeah.
Washington wins that division.
That's a great
better than
point.
Dallas, better than Giants, better than Eagles. They win the division. And they win going away, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Unless the Giants have a great offseason, because I am bullish on the Giants.
Me too.
And, but Dallas has talent.
They got to get healthy. Saquon's got to get healthy.
Yeah.
O-line's got to, be right. And they got to bring in a couple of new free agents and draft exceptionally in order to be competitive in the East.
Yeah, but think about what Washington was a year ago with, an older, aging, injured, although he played, Smith.
Yeah, but he only played, six games, seven
and
games?
Haskins, right? I know. And Kit Hinkle was interesting, very interesting in the wild card game against Tampa. He played his behind off, and I'd love to see the kid get a look, but if he gets Stafford.
Yeah.
Am I missing a team? Colts, Washington.
But it's got to be a team that's almost there. That's the issue. Like, yeah. it can't be a team that's like, oh, we got to rebuild a little bit around them, and it's going to take a couple of years. That's not – I don't think it's interesting to Matt Stafford to be in that type of situation.
He's right back where he was.
That's right.
I would submit the Bears, but there's no way they're going to deal him to an NFC North team, so forget about that. Most likely landing spot in the AFC – let's see here. Broncos. You know, we just had some Mark Schlereth before. If you said, give me three teams that you think Stafford's going to be on, and he's got to be on one of these three teams, I'd say the Colts, I'd say Washington, I'd say Denver. Those are the three teams I'd say.
Yep, they need, and they're good teams.
Yeah. I don't know if Denver's good, but Denver's
Well, they have some talent. They have some talent. They had some injuries. Philip Lindsay was hurt. Cortland Sutton, he was hurt.
Missed the whole year, basically.
Tim Patrick's a good player. They found, just randomly found. Jerry Jeudy, they drafted. So they have some talent on team.
Yeah. Who's the tight end again? Is it Fant?
Fant. One of the top. Iowa. I think he was the leading wide receiver or pass catcher on the team. So, yeah, they got talent.
Yeah.
But Drew Lock had a streak. It ended in that last game of the regular season. Of 15 straight games with an interception, or a turnover, I should say. I think it was 15 interceptions and 3 fumbles. So,
yeah, I mean, I've seen that with Darnold, and it's not all the quarterback's fault, but that's a stat you can't ignore. That's a worrisome stat.
That's right.
I hear you. All right, let's get the update. We told you this was going to be a crazy offseason with the quarterback stuff, and we always surmised that either the Lions would move on from Stafford or Stafford would want to move on from them, and we're right. We always incorporated Stafford as a real possibility of playing elsewhere, and now we'll see how this plays out, but there's going to be teams knocking. I guess the one thing when you have somebody like Winston and you have Watson and you have maybe Darnold, even though Darnold's below those guys, but you have, four quarterbacks out there that Rodgers is getting, but we'll just throw Rodgers.
Mariota as well, even though I don't think they're going to let him go.
Who's that now? You got
Mariota, Marcus Mariota.
Oh, Mariota, yeah. But the challenge now, because there's 4, 5, 6 names out there, there's an abundance of options. So you can't ask for the moon and get it.
Yeah. Plus the draft.
Correct. Absolutely. Like if it was just Stafford. And Watson was happy, and Rodgers, happy, and whatever. If it was just Stafford, and it was kind of a weak quarterback draft past the first two, then you might get two number ones.
Yeah.
You really might.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of competition, which will change the trajectory of trade dialogue, I would imagine. All right, quit rambling. Update, we'll come back, we'll hit the blast. Here's Zach's update right now. All right, going to get to the blast here. Wrap up a great Monday show. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. First, though, let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. And it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is about the Bills, specifically Josh Allen. Stan out in Colorado wants to know about Josh Allen. He says, guys, Josh looked pretty sharp at times, but he missed a lot of throws. Are you more or less convinced after yesterday he can lead the Bills to a Super Bowl title?
I think I'm more convinced on this, BT. Yes, he missed some throws, but it was the pressing nature of the game that Kansas City forces you into, and he just hasn't been in that situation. I mean, he's still so young. Mm-hmm. And we did this last week. We look at Pat Mahomes, you're like, oh, yeah, you should be able to do that. Dude, it's hard to be in an AFC championship game and perform, consistently and accurately and not miss a beat. Most quarterbacks, it takes a few years, really a lot of years. He'll get there, so I'm convinced.
I agree. I'm with you on that. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You saw that this concerted effort, smart one, obvious one, but they executed well. They shut down Diggs for most of the game. Then he got loose for a little bit.
Yeah.
But there was a point, I think they put it up on the screen, 2 receptions for 12 yards at some point in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Like he just didn't have a lot of, and that was by the, so they took away his top receiver for most of the game. They tried to run the ball, something you and I talked about a lot on Friday, where, even if it's just to kind of keep the Chiefs off the field, get the clock ticking a bit, they had a concerted effort there. They fed Singletary, not just Josh Allen runs.
Mm-hmm.
Singletary got some carries, certainly the first few series. They tried, but they're just a little deficient in talent compared to the Chiefs, as pretty much every other team is in football, except maybe the Bucs, and we'll see coming up down to Tampa with Super Bowl 55. But Josh Allen is steady. He's big, strong, fast, and he's a winner. And he's gotten exponentially better fast. And that, just gives me the conviction to agree with you.
Yeah.
That eventually if they get back to that spot, he'll be ready.
And it looks like they're going to hang on to Brian Daboll, their offensive coordinator.
I know.
Because, was it the Texans? I think it was the Texans, or maybe it was the Eagles, one of the two, requested the interview. The Bills denied it. So
you know why they may have denied that? I think that he probably said, "I'm not interested." We all thought he was getting the Chargers game because he's best. You know, went to high school with Telesco. When that didn't happen, we're like, I don't know if Daboll is going to get a seat.
Yeah,
and it looks like he won't. So that's good
probably,
for Josh Allen.
Probably said, "I'm better off staying here."
Correct.
Keep building this thing, and he definitely is. Without a doubt, he is.
I'm sure
he'll get a little bit of a raise. And look, it is what it is.
And he'll get the same looks next year.
Exactly.
Maybe a more desirable situation.
That's right.
All right, T, you ready to hit the blast? See what we got?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki. So the Eagles announced the hiring of 35-year-old Shane Steichen. That's how you say it? Steichen, I believe. I think that's how you say it. The new OC. He was the Chargers OC for the past couple of the years. So did the Eagles need to hire a more experienced OC for their head coach? Let's face it, Nick Sirianni's 39 years of age, so he's kind of young.
Yeah.
Do they need a more of a sage mind?
No,
you think?
No, I don't think so, BT. I think they need someone who works well with young quarterbacks and, you know, gets them seeing the field the right way and being decisive with his decisions, as we saw with Justin Herbert in his rookie season. So I think it's a good hire. At the end of the day, age matters for experience reasons if you're a head coach. But for a lot of the other, like quarterback coaches, running back coaches, you know, coordinators, it's really about, can you communicate? Mm-hmm. And the word on the street is that Steichen is a really great communicator. And that's, you know, it's why he gets so much credit for, you know, what happened out in with the Chargers. So, yeah, I think it was a good hire.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know enough about Shane Steichen to get on the air and say it's a good hire. I mean, I could obviously regurgitate stats and say Herbert looked pretty damn good, so he's got to be doing, even though Herbert's the talent doing it, the concepts were good enough to put him in place to do it. I won't waste anybody's time with that. I don't know. But what I do think is that even if it's not the OC, so I'm fine with the hire. I'm not going to say it's the right or the wrong because I honestly don't know. But what I am fine with just as an overall premise is to bring in that sage voice that is no longer chasing a head coaching spot like Phillips, right? When you bring in somebody like that that's been around, he's already kind of reached everything he aspires to be in terms of the lead dog. So whether it's on the offensive side or, quite frankly, defense, it doesn't matter. Just get somebody in the building, whether it's a press conference, whether it's handling a controversy, just a confidant that's got 20 years on you. That's seen a lot. There's no way that could be a bad thing. So I would probably try to find one of those, but not at the expense of a young mind that could make my team better. Ideally, I'd have both. All right, San Antonio's mayor's making a play to get an NFL franchise. They've been saying this for a while. Remember, the Raiders thought they could move to San Antonio, the Alamo Dome. That's always been on the radar. And the mayor cites the diverse background of the city, that it would appeal to NFL fans, that, quote, it's becoming an international league, particularly with its sights on Latin America, end quote. Can San Antonio and the market handle an NFL organization? You know, it wouldn't be my top choice, to be fully honest with you. But I do think that, you know, they are very fervent with what is theirs. Like, they don't have a baseball team, but they have a basketball team, and they treat that team like it's the Beatles meets Justin Timberlake meets, I mean, any, just like it's, they love that team.
Yeah.
And they treat them like rock stars. So could that passion transfer to football? 8 home games a year? I think it could. I'd like to see a little bit more, but on the surface, it's not my first choice, but I think it could work.
This is an interesting, you know, question. We've been to San Antonio a couple of times. I think we had, what was down there? The Final Four?
Final Four. That's when we were hanging out with my boy Turtle.
Yeah, that's right.
Jerry.
So, I mean, it's a cool city, too, which is neat. But, I mean, to think about expansion for the NFL, I don't know if that's on the horizon anytime soon.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that makes any sense. So it would have to be relocation of a team. I just don't know how this is going to happen. That's on the logistics sides of it. But on the reality of whether or not they could handle a franchise, of course. I mean, it's Texas. They love football. They love sport, but they love football in Texas. So I think it would work for sure.
Okay. Gordon Hayward's been balling. He has been balling and didn't stop yesterday. Dropped 39. Hornets beat the Magic. He's been playing great. Fourth time in 8 games that he's scored at least 30 points, fully healthy. He's averaging a career best 24, and he's been efficient, well over 50%, 52% for the field. So Can Hayward still develop into the player the Celtics thought he'd be when they gave him that huge deal?
Yeah, I mean, he's not long with the Celtics, so it doesn't benefit them at all. But yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, he was a star when he got that deal with the Celtics, and then circumstance because of his injury, and then the fact that they drafted so well the next couple of years, just it made him expendable. And so even though, you know, he was a valuable player for them, his usage percent rate was way, way down simply because he was the third option at best, you know, on some of those teams. So given health and given free reign, because that's what's happening down in Charlotte, I think he can be a star again. It's just a matter of how much he can lift a team. That's what I don't know yet.
Yeah, I mean, the way it's asked here, can he develop into the player of the Celtics? He already has. I mean, he's already proven this year. It's already, the spotlight's already there. It's already proven that he might even be better than he was at his apex in Utah. So, you know, the thing about Hayward, I think that last point is a great point. You know, is he a franchise elevator? And, you know, at that point, my answer is no, because we haven't really seen it. You know, I also think that there's a little bit of a stereotype with Hayward, and there's an associate, a white guy's got to be a great shooter, and he's a good shooter, but he's a good facilitator, too. Like, he does everything well. He's a little tough, tougher than people think.
Good defender.
He's a good help defender, decent on-the-ball defender. Stick his nose in there, get a rebound. You know, he can lead the fast break. He can finish, gets to the stripe, he can shoot. He's got some one-on-one moves, some step-backs. He's just a good player. So, yeah, he can. Actually, he has. All right, Hayward's former Celtics teammate, Jaylen Brown. He's also playing well, impressive yesterday. Setting an NBA record for points scored in less than 20 minutes of total game action. Scored 33.
Yeah.
33 and 19 as the Celtics beat the Cavaliers. Is Jaylen Brown a good enough number two?
Yeah, of course.
For the Celtics to win the title? I think the answer is no.
I'll
tell you why, though.
Go ahead.
I don't know if their number one is as much of a lock. Like, if you're number one, and I love Tatum. I love him. But if your number one is LeBron, then the answer is yes.
Yeah.
If your number one's like Shaq or Kobe or Magic or Bird, then the answer to this is yes.
Well, we're still got to figure out who their big is. Like, who's their difference-making defender? And, you know, when it all comes down to it, who can rim one with us when we got to play pick and roll? Because that's what happens when you get into the postseason. You simplify things a little bit and say, all right, we know this is going to work, and we know we're going to score 30% of our points off of this moment, this action. Who is that guy for the Celtics? And they don't. So is he the number two? Is Kemba Walker the number two?
I don't like Kemba Walker as the number two to win a championship.
I don't either.
There's no chance.
So that's the question. Like, I think they're still an incomplete team, as crazy as that sounds. And it's why they're 9-6 on the season, I think, through 15 games. Like, they haven't been dominant like you would expect they would after the last couple of years.
Great start to the week, Teak. We're getting there, buddy. Enjoy your Monday night. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yep. Be good, brother.
You too, man. Everybody else out there, safe, sensible, sane. Peace. We'll see you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.